Good evening. I hope everyone here is doing well. I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter. I want to start off by saying thank you to the elders for the invitation to come here tonight to speak from God's Word, which is why we're here, to study from it and to help us to grow in His Word, to serve God, to worship God as we did. Thank you, David, for leading those songs. I sprang two new songs on David. He knew them already and put them in a song service and did a great job leading them. I want to say thank you to the congregation here for the continued support that you offer us as the men are handing out outlines for tonight. The work in Tuscaloosa, as our brother was standing up here talking about different dialects and different customs, I was thinking that kind of sounds like Tuscaloosa. Not necessarily a foreign country. Being on campus and doing personal work with our students and getting to know people from all different countries, all different states who have come and who are open to hearing the gospel is such an encouraging thing, and I appreciate your support that helps make our work possible, but more important, God's work possible. He gets the glory in all things. So we appreciate the church here so much, the relationships, the friends we have here. This isn't our first time here, but we're so thankful every time we come. A few things have changed since we came the last time. We now have a little girl. She's 2 months old Tuesday. Her name's Ella. She's here with Lauren tonight, thankfully. So if you get a chance, you can meet them. And I just, again, want to ask you to pray for us as we continue our work, and we'll pray for you each day. I'd like to start off the lesson tonight by sharing a story that I think is going to help the lesson and kind of get the idea of what we're going to be talking about tonight. An older man was standing around a group of boys, and they kind of caught his attention because there was a big group of them. And in the middle of this group of boys was a stray dog, a little puppy. And all the boys were kind of going at it, trying to figure out who's going to get the dog. They all want to take the dog home to mom and dad. Well, the older man says, "What are you doing, boys?" And they said, "Well, we're having a little contest to decide who gets the dog." He said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, we're telling lies. And the one who tells the biggest lie gets this dog." And the older man was kind of taken back, and he looked at the boys real solemnly and said, "When I was your age, I would have never thought of telling a lie." The boys looked at each other, a little disheartened, and one shrugged his shoulders and said, "I guess he wins the dog." I wonder this evening, as we think about the subject of honesty, how many dogs have you won? How many times in your life have you been less than honest? And we're doing a Bible reading challenge this year at Northwood, and I was going through chapters 18 through 32 of Genesis, and I was enjoying studying about Abraham, who's a great man of faith. I came across chapter 20, though, and I was a little taken back at a decision that he made that really influenced his example on his son, on those around him, and on his wife. And it was a time when Abraham was dishonest. And what I want to share with you tonight is that account. And as we go about our day-to-day life, how can we be people of honesty? People who choose to tell the truth, even in difficult situations, or even in small situations that we may feel don't really matter much, but they do matter to our Lord. So let's read together tonight, Genesis chapter 20. And we'll make three observations from our text tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. Genesis chapter 20, we'll start reading in verse 2. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." Now remember, he had just taken a journey to another foreign land, as verse 1 talks about. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." Now Abimelech had not approached her. Some translations say they had not had a sexual relations. So he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people?" did he himself not say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. And the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you, that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, why did you see that you did this thing? Abraham said, I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and it will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. In other words, they were half-brothers and sisters. Let's keep going. Verse 13. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do me. And what kindness was that? At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you. And before everyone you were vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. When we think about honesty, is honesty a common problem in our society today? Would you say the average person would feel comfortable telling a lie? As you go to school or college, as you go to work, would your coworkers be people who maybe aren't as honest as they should be? I think a couple of books lend this idea. One book, The Liar in Your Life, How Lies Work and What They Tell Us About Ourselves, Robert Feldman says, not only do we lie frequently, but we lie without even thinking about it. Now this seems like a basic concept to us, right? We know that, and we've read in Scripture before, that lying is a sin. Revelation chapter 21 says liars will not have their part in the lake of fire. Or will have their part in the lake of fire. But notice what he goes on to say here. We are living in a time and culture where it's easier to lie than it has been in the past. The message that pervades society is that it's okay to lie. You can get away with it. So I think that is reason enough for us to take a look tonight at how we can make sure that we don't fall into this trap. One book, and statistically, said that 91% of people routinely lie about matters they consider trivial. 36 about important matters. 86 to parents. 75 to friends. 69 to spouses. So how can we conquer dishonesty? Let's take a look back at Abraham. What could he have done differently? What choices could he have made that might have swayed him to tell the truth or to be honest with Abimelech? Could he have done it? I think if our faith in God is strong enough, we can. But I think we also have to realize and be honest about dishonesty. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, speaking of people in the Old Testament that God wanted them to be aware of, that were examples for them. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide you the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So let's think about some effects to begin with tonight that dishonesty has. What impact does it have on us as a people? Well, I think the number one most important thing about dishonesty is that people in the world have a concept of God. And oftentimes it's based on us. What name do you wear in the world besides your own given name, Christian. When people think about Jesus Christ, and you call yourself, I call myself a Christian, what do they think? Could they possibly get in their mind the idea that God doesn't keep His promises? Or that God isn't a truthful God? Who would they think of when they think of you? Well, what do they think of God when they think of you? Go to John chapter 8 and verse 44, if you would, please. John chapter 8 and verse 44. It's almost paralyzing, I think, to notice the way that Abimelech viewed Abraham in light of what Abraham had done to him, isn't it? Abimelech said about God, God, will you kill an innocent people? Because of Abraham's lie, Abimelech actually thought that God would kill innocent people. Now, we know that's not who God is. God is just. God is righteous. God is holy. But through our life, through our dishonesty, would we make people or would we cause people to believe that God is not God at all? Notice where lies come from. John 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Our society may say, well, it's just a white lie. It's just a stretch. But we as Christians know that it's much more than that. We want to be of our Father. And who is our Father? The God of heaven and earth. A holy God, a just God, a righteous God, a God of truth. And not the devil. So we don't want people to misunderstand who God is. And we certainly don't want to cause people unnecessary worry or anxiety because of mistruths that we share with people. Notice back in our context, if you would, in Genesis chapter 20, if you would. Genesis chapter 20. I want you to think of Abimelech in the situation he was in. Because of Abraham's dishonesty. Notice verse 8. Abimelech rose early in the morning. Do you think that maybe he had been thinking about that situation the whole night? If you rise early in the morning, there is certainly something motivating you. You don't just get up early in the morning for just any reason, I think most of us. And I'm talking about very early in the morning. And he called all his servants and told them these things. And the men were very much afraid. Fear. Unnecessary fear. Because why? Because Abraham said something that just wasn't true. And I think about the impression we make on others. No, we might brag about something that we haven't done, and others may look at us and say, well, that's the standard. I have to be that good. Well, that's not fair. Or we may tell our spouse how good we're doing at work or how bad we're doing at work. We might be dishonest with them and unnecessarily cause them problems instead of just laying the truth out. Because they find out in the end, you're not telling the truth. And then what happens? They can't trust you. I think Abimelech probably, as much as we understood, he reconciled to Abraham. You've got to think, did he really trust him from that point on? Did he really trust someone who was a prophet of God? Did Abraham make a prophet of God look bad because of his dishonesty? I want to share a proverb with you. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. Would you turn over there, please? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. One of the most difficult parts of dishonesty, and I think you would understand what I'm saying here, you have to remember who you lied to, when you lied, what the lie was about. You fear being discovered, retribution, and there's just all these negative outcomes that come from lying. But the truth doesn't have that effect, does it? You don't have to worry about remembering exactly what you said with this person in this way. But you can just tell the truth. Similar to what the proverb writer says in Proverbs 12 and verse 19. He says, truthful lips endure forever. Now, there's more to that. Not just the eternal effect, but they go on and on. You don't have to go back and check up on what you said. It's just there. Versus a lying tongue is but for a moment. Why? Because you have to check up on yourself. It's in that moment and then it's gone. And then you say, well, what did I say? Who did I say it to? That is what's difficult about dishonesty, is that it causes worry and anxiety. Ultimately, it causes sin. And I've already shared with you Revelation chapter 21. Among all the sins in that chapter, lying is part of it. That those who are liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. But does it do more than just cause you to sin? I just want to share with you just a thought. Something I thought about when I was reading through Genesis chapter 20. What if Abimelech and Sarah had went ahead and had that affair? What if he had taken her to be his wife? How would Abraham have felt? I can't imagine. I can't imagine. You've got to think, since God would not allow someone to live in an adulterous relationship, that they would have been struck down. All because of dishonesty. And so I want to share with you something. As you go to work tomorrow, this is practical. As you go to work tomorrow, as you go to school, when we live less than honest lives, and someone realizes that we act that way, we could cause a person to be lost because we claim to be God's child. We claim to be a servant of God. I mean, how would it feel if you knew because of your less than honest life that someone lost their soul? That would be so hard to stomach, wouldn't it? And so the case here, it causes sin. It causes heartbreak. And I want to think about this. I have a little girl here tonight who's 2 months old. And I would hate to know that she was known as a liar because she saw me do it. But you know, one of the hardest parts of this account, just a few chapters over in Genesis chapter 26, you know who did the same thing? Isaac, Abraham's son. So dishonesty is not just a white lie. It's not just stretching the truth. It is sin. And the impact it has is far-reaching. Some say practically, well, how can we make sure that we don't do this? Well, we tell the truth. Well, how can you do it when there's a difficult situation? Tell the truth. You know, we've recently gone through Christmas time, and we all have got something that we didn't maybe want. And so the temptation is to say how much you needed it, or how much you wanted it, or how great it is. How about just tell the truth? You really appreciate them getting you a gift. That's nice of them. That's kind of them. There's no dishonesty in that. And you don't have to hear down the road where maybe you told someone else how bad you didn't like it, and then they went and told that person and they don't trust you anymore. You see how that happens? In a practical way, we can tell the truth. One person said, those who believe it's all right to tell little white lies soon grow colorblind. And that is the truth. I'd like you to turn to Titus, the second chapter, if you would, please. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. This is a passage that Paul specifically writes to Titus, and it's concerning young people, young men specifically, but I want you to get the application here for us all in terms of honesty, in terms of why it's important to be people of the truth. Titus chapter 2, you can get there. In verse 7. It says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity, sound speech. that cannot be condemned. Why? Why is it important for someone in the world to not be able to say that we're lost or that we're sinning? That an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. If we're going to be lights, if we're going to be salt, if we're going to impact our world for Christ, we're going to have to act like Him. And He was a person of honesty. So we understand the impact. As we consider this little boy, I thought it was so appropriate. There's a picture of him on YouTube that really makes my next point well. He's standing there and his parents have said, "Now, did you get into the cookie jar and get the cookies with sprinkles?" Now, what, you know, this isn't a very good picture, I'm sorry. But what are the things on his face? Those are sprinkles. And he looks straight into the camera and he says, "No, I did not." Now, can you believe that? That anybody would ever do something like that? Well, I wonder if God really thinks of us that way sometimes. And we say to ourselves, well, why do people of faith struggle with lying? If God sees all, if God hears all, if God knows all, and we understand that, why do we still struggle? I would suggest to you it's for the same reason that Abraham did. Abraham was not perfect. And I think if we understand some lessons that we can learn from this, maybe we can be better in terms of our honesty. Go back to Genesis chapter 20. I want to suggest to you that the first reason that he struggled with honesty was this. It's because he thought too much. Now you may be sitting there saying to yourself, well, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. Thinking is a good thing. But I want to suggest to you that sometimes we as Christians need to be automatic. We need to be people that have already made up our minds about what we're going to do in our life. That we don't allow our thoughts or our conscience to determine what we're going to do. My mind's already made up. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 3. In the passage that, in Genesis chapter 20, you understood that the first thing he did when he was considering the situation is he thought to himself. Well, that sounds really similar to what the proverb writer says in terms of trusting God instead of ourselves. There's a passage that we read very often in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." So you've made a determination that you're going to tell the truth this week, right? You're going to be people of honesty. Keep reading though, verse 6. "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path." So in other words, if I'm trusting God, there is nothing that I cannot get through. Maybe if I'm at my job and my boss is really, really mad at me, instead of lying to him about the reports and saying, "Well, yeah, they're done. I'll have them in your office in an hour. I've got to do something else first." And you really not having them done, you can tell him the truth. Why? Because you trust God. You have faith. You trust in His Word. Now, it may be difficult at the time, but notice verse 7, a verse that we don't read much with this context. He says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Fear the Lord, not your boss. Fear the Lord, not your spouse. We're going to find out in a minute that I think one of the main reasons people of faith struggle is because we're fearful people. We're afraid that we might get in trouble if we tell the truth. Not realizing that we're compromising who God is. That because we're a Christian. We're claiming to be a Christian. You may not know it here, but I referee high school basketball. And to some people that I might seem like a glutton for punishment, but it is really a fun thing to do if you can get past all the loudness and everything of it. But one person asked me one time about being a referee, how is it at the very end of games that you can make a call in a really intense and high pressure situation? That's a good question. How can you not let people sway you? But the answer to that question is, if you call the same at the first of the game, you'll call the same at the end. Consistency. If you have already made your mind up that you're going to fear God, and you've been doing that, when the pressure comes, when the difficult time comes, you know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to say, because you trust in God. I wonder what maybe would have been different with Abraham if he let his faith guide that situation in his life and not be afraid of other people. It's easy to be afraid of other people. Why? Because we feel like that I'll get in trouble with my boss, my teacher, if I lie and say I've got my homework. Or maybe I tell my parent I've got my homework, but I really don't. I'll get grounded. What's more important? Getting grounded for a week or losing your soul? And I'm being serious. Trust God. Trust God, not yourself. Not other people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, perfect love casteth out fear. Does the love you have for God take away that fear in your life? Of men? Of telling the truth? Maybe it's because we tell half-truths. What was the half-truth in Abraham's account here? It was that she is my sister, right? But she wasn't completely his sister. She was only his half-sister. She was also his wife. I remember a parent telling me recently about a child, his son, telling him, saying, Dad, he said, did you get your homework done? And the child said, yes. And so the dad, just to check up on him, went in there and looked at the homework, and he had questions 1 through 5 done out of 10. Now, what kind of truth was that? It was a half-truth. But it applies here. Someone asked you, especially your wife or your husband asked you, you know, did you have a good day at work today? The answer is yes, or it's no, or it's somewhere in between. Maybe we're afraid to open up because of that. I remember someone telling me that was in a debt situation, a car dealership advertising $79 a month. And at the very bottom of the screen, it had for the first 3 months, then your payment goes up to $625 a month. And we're all like, wow, that's wrong. That's dishonest. But it's what we do sometimes. Let's be people of the truth. Let's be people who don't dress up the truth. Remember what Abraham said to Sarah in Genesis chapter 20? Turn back over there with me if you would, please. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 13. What did he say was going to be what would benefit him? How did he dress up the truth? He said, when God calls me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother. He dressed up a lie as a kind thing to do. And I hear this sometimes. It's kind to say something as a compliment instead of being honest. When someone asks your honest opinion, are we dressing it up like Abraham did? And finally, maybe we're letting our friends influence us. I wonder how differently it would have been if Sarah had spoke up in the moment. We read about women of faith all throughout the Old Testament. Esther, Ruth. Esther wasn't afraid to speak up, even at the cost of death, for what was right. And I wonder what would have been different if Sarah would have spoken up, or one of Abraham's servants would have spoken up. Maybe we're around folks who might let us tell lies. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Let's make sure that we're around the type of people that won't let us get away with those kind of lies, that will hold us accountable, that will encourage us to tell the truth, and that will help us to glorify God. So let's kind of wrap up our lesson and talk a little bit about practically for the last 5 minutes. What can you do this week? And you have your outlines right there, and I want to encourage you to do something this week. As kind of a first step, take your outline, put it somewhere where you can use it. And use this to encourage you to tell the truth this week, to be honest. How can you, in an instance this week, give a straight answer? I want you to hold yourself accountable. There's a line across from this. And I want you to fill in the blank. When is a time this week that I was honest? That it was difficult, but I gave a straight answer. I told the truth. I was like Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. I let my yes be yes, and I let my no be no. Because I wanted to be a light. Write that down this week when you do that. To give Him the glory. Hold yourself accountable for that. Don't just give straight answers though, but speak the truth. Speak the truth. And you're sitting there saying, well, you're telling me to speak the truth, but let me show you what Paul told the church at Ephesus about speaking the truth. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. Going back to our illustration about gifts, when you get gifts, and some of you will probably get things for Valentine's Day from your spouse that might not exactly be what you want. Has that ever happened before? Of course. But what's your answer to them? It's not to lie, but it's also not to be brutally honest. Brutally honest. Let me show you what Paul tells the church at Ephesus here concerning truth. Now remember, this is in the context of dealing with false teachers. So this is a high pressure situation. This is teaching people about doctrine, sound doctrine. How does he tell them to tell the truth? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Speaking the truth, what way? And it's actually 15, I'm sorry, 15. Speaking the truth in love. In love. You love someone enough to tell them the truth. Have you ever thought about that? You love someone enough to tell them the truth and to do so in a kind way. That's who we should be this week. So write it down this week. When is the time that I spoke the truth? I told the truth in love, even when it put me in a little bit of a bind. When was a time this week that I kept my mouth shut? Instead of being dishonest, I kept my mouth shut. I listened instead of speaking. That's a trait that we all need to learn better, including myself. And I'm saying that as a gospel preacher, someone who talks too much a lot of times. Finally, set Christ in your heart. What happens when we have the wrong heart? The wrong things flow out. We lie. That is the symptom, is lying. The problem is our hearts. Go to Philippians chapter 4, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 4, and the lesson will be yours. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I hope and pray that you take the challenge to do this every day. At Northwood, we're reading the Bible together every single day. And I understand that only by God's Word can our faith be increased. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So let's understand how we can be truly people of honesty every day. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true. That's the first one. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Put the Word of God in your heart. Put truth in your heart. And truth has to come out. It will change your life if you get in God's Word and you stay in it. And I hope and pray this week that you do that. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. I would like to ask as we close to consider something that Jesus said about Himself. you remember as Jesus was talking about Himself, how He described Himself? In John chapter 14, verse 6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God and you haven't come to the Father, there is only one way. There is only one truth. And there is only one way to have eternal life. That is through Jesus Christ. Would you believe in Him as the Son of God? Would you confess Him as the Son of God? Would you repent and turn away from things that we talked about tonight, from dishonesty, and live a life that reflects who God is? And be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's someone here tonight that needs to make that change, would you do so as we stand and as we sing? Love.